All right, thank you for that. We are going to be in Luke chapter number 14. And then just a reminder, the singles activity tonight with us, my wife and I will be going to the hangar after the Sunday night service, so let's be here and be in our place. One of the things that we focused on when we were in our building campaign several months ago, we talked a lot about our past and where our church came from. Now, I love where we are at now, especially after meeting outside in that parking lot in the winter without heaters and all that other drama. I like being inside. You know, pastors call and say, hey, what's it like being in a new building? Was it a hard transition? I'm like, after meeting outside for 6 months? No, it was simple, okay? It was really easy. But I do look back fondly at what God did in our church in the past. You know, one of the things is that I look back fondly on is because we weren't smart enough to realize that we didn't know any better, and we just kept reaching people. We did not let anything stop us. We did whatever we could as a church with our limited resources and our limited facilities, excuse me, to reach people with the gospel. And we did not let our limitations hinder us. By the way, we have 22 Sunday school classes outside? That's why we need to finish the building, amen? Yeah. Well, thank you, Jerry. I'm glad one of us is excited about that. That's why we need to finish the building. Yeah. But let me just tell you something. That we always had Sunday school classes outside. When we wanted a new Sunday school wing, we welded some bars of metal together, threw a tarp over it, and said, ta-da, 5 new classes. That's just what we did. We did not have transportation. I remember when we first started the church, it was Pastor Esposito, and we had 2 cars. I had a car, my wife had a car, and we'd get to church early, and we'd make 3 or 4 trips picking up people and bringing them to church. And then we finally got intelligent, and we got ourselves, we were given a van, and it made it a little bit easier. We had Sunday school classes in our houses. We had an apartment 2 blocks from our church, and that's where our singles class met. We started our bus ministry, but there was just one small, tiny problem. We did not have a bus. And I remember we finally got a bus. And that bus ran about 25% of the time. Some of you were over on the Anaheim property. I remember we would have our bus ministry on Saturday, and we'd have 200-300 kids over there, and we didn't even have a bus. Say, how'd they get there? You don't want to ask? I'm not going to tell you, but they showed up. We started our Christian school on a ping pong table. I don't suggest that's a good idea. You say, why a ping pong table? You know the white line down the middle, it has 4 divisions? We had 4 kids. They each got their corner of the ping pong table. We were reaching gang members, and I'm not even going to go into that. We had a 2,400 square foot facility. We had church outside for years. When we were looking for a loan, one of the agents told us when we were in this building and we knew that we were going to build eventually, I was looking for a loan for the church, and I was in the office talking to one of the guys from it may have been from ECCU, Evangelical Christian Credit Union, and we were talking about our facility and we were short of space. He goes, you know, one church I know, they have half of their church meets outside, and they just put up a little screen. And we're like, we didn't get a loan from them, but it's like, bingo. And so you know what we did? We built a patio, put a screen out there. Half of our church met outside we probably had people on the patio for 10 years. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. We're in a new facility. And soon, by the grace of God, we'll be done building this facility. And some of the things we've had to do in the past will be a thing of the past. Now, I'm going to come back to that in a few minutes. In Luke chapter 14, the entire chapter, it starts out with Jesus eating at the homes of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day. While doing so, he heals a man, just to irritate the religious leaders, I think, and to help this man. And then he uses it as an opportunity to teach them. Because of the attitudes of some of the folks that are there, Jesus teaches some parables to help them. In the first of the parables, he teaches the principle of humility, and that's not our message for today. Then we come to the 2 parables in our text. In the first one, Jesus teaches about about having a banquet, so not having a banquet, so you can invite those to come who have some means so that they'll reciprocate and they'll invite you to their house to eat. Then he comes to the one that he is going to teach us today. In response to a comment, Jesus goes to the second parable in the text we read. A man of some means has a great supper, and he invites a bunch to come to his supper. A lot of them make excuses. One man says he bought a property, and he needs to go look at it. Nobody would ever buy a property without looking at it. Someone bought some animals for domestic chores, and he says, now that I bought them, I got to go test them. Of course, that's an excuse. He would have tested them. That was not legit. And then we come to the one Raul enjoyed during the scripture reading. One man says, I can't come. I just got married. That one's legit. Yeah. You know, by the way, I just recently switched Siri on my phone to a lady. I had a guy for a while. I thought, at least I have one lady in my life I can tell to do, and they listen. So, but even Siri gets on me, right? You ever text? Siri's like, no, that, you know, whatever. She's a Jezebel. The man gets angry at all the excuses why people can't come to the banquet. And so finally he says, look, just go out and invite everybody you can. The guy goes, well, of course, I've done that, and there's still plenty of room. And then he gives the verse we know well. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, I understand that the primary point of the parable is that Jesus came, he was the king of Israel, he came to bring the gospel, and the Jews rejected it, and now the gospel is not going to go to the Jews, it's going to be taken to the Gentiles. I get it. I understand all that. But there's a secondary application. The gospel is for everybody. And we should be aggressive in taking the gospel to everybody. In the context of Jesus' teaching, as we looked at, that's what he was saying. By the way, the Jews considered the Gentiles inferior. They considered some people inferior. By the way, Jesus doesn't consider anybody inferior.
That's right. Amen.
If anybody's inferior, you know who it is? The people who think people are inferior.
Yeah.
Okay? And we'll leave that alone. But here's where I'm going to. Do you know sometimes a church can get a little bit, and maybe proud's a strong term, a little bit proud, a little bit settled in because they've been established for a while? By the way, we've never had a new building.
Come on.
I mean, I'll be honest, when we moved to the building on Pacific, I was just excited we were indoors.
Yeah.
I remember sitting in the back row of that new service, and I'm looking at the building, I'm like, after being outside for 8 years, I'm like, I can get used to this. But now we're in a new facility. Now it's nice. Now it's not, I don't have to look out the window to see if people are paying attention.
Yeah.
You know, when we have friend day, we won't have people all the way out against the wall by the vending machine.
Yeah.
Okay, those days are over. But what happens in a church when you arrive, or you think you arrive, you lose that passion that you used to have for reaching people with the gospel. Here's the message this morning. I want the old Pacific Baptist Church. And if you want to go a little bit farther past that, the Cambodian Baptist Church. As Brother Benefield was preaching last week and talking about reaching people, that thought came to my mind. He mentioned our facilities, and maybe it was God, maybe I don't know, maybe the coffee wasn't really good, I'm not sure. But as he was sitting there, I'm thinking, I don't want the new facilities to keep us from being the church that we've always been.
Come on. Amen.
Just because when we get the building completely done, we won't have 22 Sunday school classes outside. I don't want us to become a church that I don't want to be a part of.
Come on.
By the way, as long as you have me here, that will never happen.
Yeah. Come on.
And I'll say this as kindly as I can. It won't sound kind. I'd rather have this building fall to pieces than us to become that type of church.
Amen.
We'll set the tent back up. Well, we can't. We sold it. We'll set the tent back up and the parking lot, and we'll get the heaters back out, and we'll do the best we can. I want a church that is the same. Our church has matured. I understand that. Oh, and we have better facilities. But I don't want us to lose that passion for reaching people in our community that we have always had in the past. By the way, that would be reprehensible to God. For God to bring us this far and it's like, we're good. Okay? By the way, that's why we have a balcony. We have a little bit of room in here because this is a bigger facility. But I want that balcony to be used. I'm ready to get, you say why? Do you want to be a big shot? I'm not a big shot. You know, sometimes guys say, I don't even put my face on the track. A lot of pastors, they put their picture on the track. I don't want to scare people away. Or I don't want people to come and see me and say, wow, I got to go see that guy in person. I don't want to be a distraction. Okay, it was more the first one, all right? My wife would say, that's an ugly track. Let's just move on here. It's not about that. Do you understand that we live in the end times? Do you understand the misery and the discouragement that's out there? We have something good. Why wouldn't we want to share it with somebody else? I want us to have the same passion that caused us to grow despite no facilities, the passion that caused us to be creative and continue to grow, a passion for reaching everyone with the gospel, a passion for running our buses. By the way, it seems like that's kind of falling out of favor, but not here. And a passion for our Sunday school classes. I want to boil it down. I want our church to live with the passion to live by the motto of reaching any person, any place, any time, anywhere, any universe, any Sunday. I'll just, you at it. Amen. Now, what does that have to do with the scripture? Because this story kind of plays into that. And I want us to look at the story and I want us to apply that to our church. And I'll just be honest with you. If we do apply it to our church, well, we'll never have that problem. Amen. We'll never have that problem. We didn't build this building because we wanted a building that was new. We built a building because we needed space. Amen. First of all, I want to look at several things, several aspects of this passage. First of all, let's look at the parables. Not in depth, but I want you to look at what they're teaching. They're teaching basically two things. First of all, these parables are preaching against spiritual pride. And the spiritual pride was evident. The Israelites were religious. They didn't really recognize their Messiah. They thought they were better than people. They put all these religious things in there, and really they didn't really care about people. God was they avoided those they were inferior to that they thought they were better than. By the way, churches get like that. Yeah. Oh yeah, they do. As a church gets much, look, in the early days, we were just glad if there wasn't an oil stain next to the seat where we were sitting. We were just glad that it wasn't raining because when it rained, every seam between the tarp, water came down. I remember we had a missions conference and I wasn't feeling good. And we got these heaters and there was like two heaters forever outside and it was cold and it was pouring rain and I didn't feel good, so I sat next to the heater and it did nothing for me. And I'm thinking, I wonder what the people up on the front row are feeling. But you know what? That was exciting. But we start to get older now, like, hey. And by the way, I want the facilities to be clean. And if you walk into the auditorium with a coffee, I hope someone tackles you. And let me just say this. It's not in the scripture. I've looked. I've studied. But I hate gum. Don't throw your gum in the parking lot, okay? You're causing me to lose my Christianity. And Brother Paul, every time I say that, I get a text from Brother Paul. He hates those little sprinkle things, you know, you guys, the little spoofle dust stuff. You know, you get these Christmas gifts with all the little spoofle dust, and it's all over the floor. It's like, forget it. But anyhow, that has nothing to do with it. But a church gets mature, and they get spiritually proud, so they're only going to cater to a specific kind of individual. You have less patience for those who are less mature as a Christian as you. Hey, listen, I know all of you and I know where you came from. Okay, you all look, well, you don't look nice today. You look like a bunch of construction workers looking for a break. But you come on Sunday and you look good. I know what you used to be like. And I'm glad God cleaned you up. God, I'm glad God cleaned me up. We only want to go to certain parts of our community. And then we start looking down on the younger generation. Not here. Amen. God hates that. You say, well, are there certain people that you shouldn't take the gospel to? Those who are dead.
Yeah.
It's too late for them.
Yeah.
They either got it or they didn't. We take the gospel to everybody.
Amen.
That type of mentality is garbage. And if our church ever starts to head that way, let's go back to Anaheim.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Anaheim. I don't want to go back to Anaheim, so don't do that. And then the parables were teaching that they're against spiritual pride, but they are for spiritual passion. And we'll look at a little bit of this in a minute as I'm hurrying. That is what will keep us from becoming spiritually proud or spiritual snobs. We have a passion to help people.
Come on.
That's our calling in life.
Yep.
Look, people are passionate about taking water and clean water to parts of this world that don't have it. And I'm not against that. But should we not be as concerned about taking something that can heal somebody's soul?
Yeah.
I don't want to be proud. I hear from far too many people in churches, and they criticize churches that have spiritual passion. Well, it's not our job to reach people with the gospel. Really? It's not? Well, you know, you just tell them, and then you walk your way. So we can't have passion when we're telling them? We can't encourage them to go forward and make the right decision? I know you can't force the gospel on somebody, but it's not some little mechanical thing. There, I told you. Look, it's not Jonah witnessing. Jonah walked in the city because he didn't want him to get saved. He goes, 40 days, God's going to destroy this place. No love offering, no song, see you later, I'm out of here. That's not how you soul win. You're supposed to care about people. Of some, having compassion, making a difference. Why are we running all those buses anyhow? Because they're brand new and they cost us an arm and a leg. That's why we're running those things. By the way, I get nauseous when people criticize the bus ministry. I'll say amen to that right there. Amen. You did hear it last week as I sat down here and Brother Benefield said his wife, a missionary, was reached on a bus route. My wife used to ride the bus. She didn't listen, so I kicked her off, right? Okay. Hey, we have missionaries in the mission field that were reached on our bus routes. We have staff members that were reached on our bus routes. Don't criticize the buses to me. Well, you know, sometimes they make the place dirty. I hate that too, but they're kids. By the way, if the kid at your house, if your child makes your house dirty, do you kick them out? Oh, I've considered that actually. No. Come on now. Well, you know, we have nice carpet. And by the way, I will fight tooth and nail to keep the carpet clean.
Yep.
But you know what? You can rip those little tiles off and replace them. Now, that doesn't mean you bring the kids in here and let them make it dirty, okay? Let's just balance. We're going to run the buses. Well, these children and teenagers aren't going to turn out. We got quite a few of them that do. Thank you. Why do you have evening services? Because we're trying to be together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah.
And we want to be encouraged by the Word of God. You know, it makes me sick. These churches are like, well, you know, your type of church, you don't teach the Bible, and then they only have one service a week. Come on. No Sunday school. No little Sunday night. Wednesday nights, people drinking coffee in the house. You know, it's free. Why do you guys have a big friend day? Oh, I don't know. Ask Monterey Park Church. Pastored by Brother Beck, who came on a friend day. His parents came on a friend day, and his dad got saved. I think his mom was already saved, one of the two. And we have them everywhere in here.
Yeah.
The Montgomerys. I've been trying to get rid of them for years.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I'd like to hear from somebody that actually was at the Civil War.
Yeah.
Let me just say this. If I'm going to err anywhere when it comes to a church, I want to err on the side of passion.
Amen.
I want to err on the side of passion. Sometimes people don't take the gospel. It's sometimes that people don't want to do things for God, criticize those that do. People don't take the gospel to anybody are criticizing those who are. People who don't bring anybody to church criticizing the way we bring people to church. People don't want to live right, getting against preaching the parts of the Bible that talk about living right. Look, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, but let's not be critical.
Amen.
Okay, let's move to the next one here. Let's look at the problem. In the passage, I see two problems that the man who wanted the supper full encountered. Look at verse number 21. So the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being very angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in thither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. In verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. You know what the problem is? There's never enough people that are reached. Never. And again, I'm not saying that because I want some big numbers and everybody look. I don't care less if anybody looks anywhere. But we, you do realize just in our city alone are 500,000 people. And every city connected to our city is 100,000 or more, or close to it. And every city connected to them is 50 to 100,000 people. The only city that's less is Signal Hill. It's 8,000 people, and it's surrounded by Long Beach. So those people don't matter? We should be content. And by the way, I'm thankful for whatever God does, but I'm not content until the whole city is here. Amen. And is reached for Christ. Amen. We're never going to get there. Amen. But come on, you know the misery that's going on. Yeah. You know the problems people deal with on a daily basis. Isn't Jesus the answer?
Yeah.
Then why would we be okay with not trying to help people that need something? And we know the answer.
Amen.
This isn't some problem. I don't care. They're, write us up in a journal because we don't care about that. We've never been that. We never will be. There's always. We're trying to get people here so we can get people the news and the help that they need.
Yeah.
But not only is there never enough people, there's never enough workers. Look at verse 23. And I'm not trying to read into the story, but because that's not the, this is not the, the push of the of it, but it's there. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the, how many is a servant? How many is that?
One.
One guy trying to fill up the supper. Now again, I know that's not the push of the thing. The thing is the people didn't want to come. But I imagine, common sense, if there was more people, maybe there would have been more people there. But I do know this, if you want to push back on that, that's fine. It's a biblical principle. Why don't we read Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38? It's well known. You can look at it later. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus said, the problem is there's all kinds of people, but there's not enough laborers. Now, what does he tell them to pray for? Are you ready? Verse 38. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Now, we pray for people to come to church.
Yeah.
We pray for people to come to Christ.
Yeah.
And that's right. That's fine. But Jesus said, you know what you need to pray for? Your laborers. You could have a, look, if you're a farmer and you have a field that's ready to be harvested and you don't have any workers, you can pray all you want for that harvest. But if no one goes and gets it, it's going to rot.
Yeah.
There are people out there. And if just more people would go out there and talk to them, if more people would simply give them an invitation or have an opportunity to share the good news of Christ with them, they might come.
Amen.
And I know this, if 10 people are out doing it, it's not going to be as effective as if 100 people are out doing it.
Right.
We could have 5 people bringing their friends on friend day, but if the whole church gets behind it, it's going to work. We could have 5 people going out, knocking on doors, leaving invitations or soul winning, and that's great. But if you have 100, it's greater.
Yeah.
We're not struggling for no labor. By the way, we have a church that's there. We probably had, with Spanish, 150, 160 out soul winning this last week. Maybe more. But you know what? A 260 would be better.
Yeah.
Why? So you can say, and I don't throw numbers. I never come here to tell you how many we have of this and that or the other. But it's just a matter of, look, the more seed that's being sown, the more fruit you're going to have.
Amen.
Never have enough people. We need everybody in the church to get people to church.
Amen.
Every day you just walk by people, just give an invitation. Say, I'm not that good at talking to people. Can you say, oh, here's an invitation to our church? And the invitation's not that hard because there's not a picture of the pastor on there to scare you away. Okay? We need everybody in the church to sign up as many as people as we can for Friend Day. See, this fall is a time of harvest, and let's get after it. Let's work, and it's just something we should be doing everybody, all the time. And by the way, we don't just need you to bring people to church, we need you to befriend them. I remember Brother Johnson was here for the men's meeting. And I never heard it this way. He said that he came to church as a new Christian. He sat there. He goes, there was one guy in the choir. He goes, there ought to be more than one guy. So he went up there and said, I'll sing. The pastor said, can you sing? He goes, I'll join the choir. And then he said he noticed visitors and no one's talking to him. He goes, I'll go talk to him. Listen, he didn't need a spiritual anointing. Okay, he didn't need someone to, you know, slap him in the head and breathe over him. And he just said, here's somebody that needs to be talked to. I'll go talk to him.
Yep.
And then lastly, let's just look at the plan. Look at the plan. So what was the plan that we can follow? And it's here in the thing, that keep our church the same as we were before. How can we keep, what kind of plan can we use to keep our church like it was before? Well, let's keep the same plan the church before had.
Yep.
And the one we've always kept.
Yeah.
You know what it is? The first thing is go.
Yeah.
Verse 17. And he sent his servant. You know what sending means? Here it is. You ready? Go. Sending. Verse 21. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly. You know, shoot, go. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out. I'm not a brain surgeon. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar. I think that he sent him. I think that he was sent out. By the way, we already know all the scriptures. We're sent out. But will we go? We can talk all we want about caring for people. But will we do it? We can say all we want about, I want people to meet Jesus. But will you share him? Will you hand out an invitation? Will you hand out a tract? Will you come on to whatever it is. Go. God wants us to go. And the only way we're going to go is if we're obedient.
Amen.
Obedient. Then I like the next word. Verse 21. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring them in. I mean, like, bring them. Like, don't just go and get an invitation. Bring them. Verse 23. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them. Now, I'm not, again, this is not Bible Scholar 101. This is simplicity. Bring them. Go out, get them, and bring them to church. Go out and compel them. Now, in our soul winning training, the first thing we say is grab five tracks. Boom, first challenge done. Then the next one is place them somewhere. And I'm like, you know, sometimes people are in a certain room. One is guys, the other one's girls, and they're busy. Leave a track there. You don't have to talk to them. Leave it at your table. But there's a little bit more to it sometimes. Compel.
Amen.
You know, Jesus died for your sins, and you know, you ought to trust him. Thanks for listening. No, how about a little bit of passion? How about a little bit of compassion? You can't. I can't make anybody come to church. I can't make anybody trust Christ, but I can lovingly encourage them to come.
Yeah.
If they don't think it's important to me, whenever I witness to somebody, I'm like, 1978 Easter Sunday. You're probably sick of that, hearing that, right? I went to church on Easter Sunday, 1978, and I trusted Christ because I want them to know it was real in my life. It's a big deal. Compel. Let's be compelling. Let's let people know that Jesus loves them with a little bit of passion. And then the last thing is, the plan is fill. He says, that my house may be filled. He said, look, just go out and get them. And by the way, if these people think they're too highfalutin to come to church, let's go find people that don't think they're too highfalutin to come to church.
Yep.
We don't have rich people in this church. I wish we did. Okay? But you know what we have? We have regular, everyday people. It's what I am. I just happen to be better looking than you. You know, I'm going to put my picture in the track. I'm going to do it. Okay? But come on. No one here is a big shot. That's not who we are, and that's not who we ever will be.
Amen.
Why don't we just go out and reach the people that want it? Now, again, we give it to everybody. There are people that are out there.
Yep.
And if we go and we sow enough seed, people will come.
Yes, sir.
People will trust Christ.
Amen.
But we got to do it. Listen, I don't want to be a new church. I don't. Just because we're different than now, you know, there'll be people that'll come here, and one of the couple of the people that I've invited to come, they haven't been here in years and years, and they'll come, and everything's going to be different, and ooh, look at the carpet, and yay, and all that stuff. By the way, we even have choir mics now. Isn't that cute? They're blocking the screens, but we're going to put something to pull them up there. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
So what, you know? It's about people. And I don't want to lose that passion.
Come on.
By the way, let me just ask you this and I'm done. And thank you for giving me a couple extra minutes because the choir really sang long today. But let's personalize this for a minute and then we're done. Have you lost your passion? You know, I used to be on a bus route when I was a teenager. I'm off the bus route. Well, you know, the buses still run. Well, I used to drive a bus. Come see me. The more drivers we have, the less you'll have to drive. Can I get a witness? By the way, if you have a horrible driving record, don't come see me. Okay, well, I ran over 4 people last week. Okay, we don't need you. You can help us vacuum the carpet, okay? And don't run over anybody. Yeah. Well, you know, I used to do that. I used to come out on Tuesdays. I just don't do it anymore. Let's not lose our passion. By the way, Christianity gets really, really cruddy when you do that. I can't think of another word. It is, because you're not reaching out anymore.
Right.
But there's excitement in helping people.
Amen.
And by the way, I get it. You help somebody sometimes and it doesn't work out and it's like, I wasted my time. No, no, no. There's somebody else.
Yep.
There's somebody else. Let's just care.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. And the world, with all the division in our world and a lot of it's manufactured on CNN and MSLSD, all these other places, but for the most part, people listen to each other. Yeah, and you know what? Caring is a universal language.
Yeah.
It really is. And I want this to be a caring place. I want the New Pacific Baptist Church, and I don't even like that term. It's the Old Pacific Baptist Church. It's Old Pacific Baptist Church because that's what we see in the Bible. And let's stick with it.
Yeah.
If we can bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute, please. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me a few extra minutes. I guess this is more directional. And again, there's no problems in our church. I thank our church. But I just know how the nature of the beast, sometimes we forget and we can lose that passion. Can we not? I don't want to lose that passion. I want people to meet Jesus Christ. I always want there to be a stream of new people coming into our church because people are inviting them. That's a wonderful thing. And by the way, if you've never really been part of another church, I mean, ours is not the only church that happens, but the way it happens in our church is even more. God just blessed us that way because we have good people. Hey, let's not lose that. We're the same Pacific Baptist Church. It's just that now we have cleaner carpets. We have newer chairs. We have nicer screens. But guess what? That ain't changing who we are.
Amen.
This fall, we have a great opportunity to reach people with the gospel. This fall, we have the great opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. Can we take advantage of that? Can we allow God to use us? Maybe you're here this morning and you're new. And maybe you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe someone invited you and you came and it's all kind of new to you. Let me just tell you this. Don't leave without meeting him. What I mean by that is this. Think of this question. Are you 100% for sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? Are you 100% for sure? You say, Pastor, I could you give me a reason if I were to say, why would you be going to heaven? Do you have any doubt? If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, with nobody looking around, please, that's me. I am not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. But that's something I'd like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? If you just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Nobody looking. Raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Let's stand together. Let's stand. Let's not lose our passion for people. The pianist is going to play. Maybe your heart's got a little cold. Maybe you've just been busy and you've kind of got away from it. Everywhere you go, there are people that have needs. They may look nice. They may play the part. But inside, they may have a need. And all it takes is one person to give them an invitation to church. to talk to them about Jesus Christ. That's all it takes. Allow God to use you, to allow God to continue to use our church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for everything you have ever accomplished in this church the last 33 years. Lord, it's been an exciting journey. I'm glad I've been able to be here. But Father, it's just the beginning. I want the future to be brighter than our past was. Lord, help us as a church and as individuals in the church to regularly come in contact with those whom you would allow us to be a blessing to. You would allow us to be a help to. May we love everybody. May we care about everybody. May we work to help everybody. Be with us, Lord, as we go our way till we meet again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.